Well, Slava Isusa Christu, glory be to Jesus Christ and glory be to the Creator. We welcome everyone on Treaty 6 territory and acknowledge that we are here on the territory that is traditional homeland of the First Nations, including Cree, Dene, Nakota, Lakota, Dakota, and Soto, and homeland of our Métis Nation. We pay our respect to the First Nation and Métis ancestors of this place, and we reaffirm our relationship with one another in the spirit of reconciliation. Hello, everyone. We're so pleased that you could join us here today for this regular meeting of the board. The opening prayer, if you will all join us, please join us in a sign of our faith. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, send the Spirit of your Son to remain with us during our meeting. Let him guide us and inspire us to think and speak according to the mind of Jesus. Fill us with your joy and love, and help us to put our plans into practice. St. Paul, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, trustees, you had the opportunity to go through your board package this weekend, and I will require an adoption of the agenda. Thank you, Trustee Carrier. Trustee Beckler seconded that motion. I'll ask for the negative vote. Hearing and seeing none, that motion is carried. I'll ask also now, you board trustees, you have the opportunity to look through the package, and I'll ask if there is a declaration of conflict of interest, if you would make that known now. Seeing and hearing none, we'll proceed now to the approval of the minutes. The minutes of the March 15th, 2021 regular meeting of the board were presented in your packages. You have the chance to go through them, and if you see that everything is as it should be, I'll ask for someone to move that motion to accept the approval of the minutes. Thank you, Trustee Elliott. I'll ask for a seconder. Trustee Dana Case. Thank you, Dana. I'll ask for the negative vote. That motion is carried. We have no delegations or special presentations or post-meeting assignments at this moment, as well as consent items do not occur. So we'll proceed right to 6.0, the discussion items. 6.1 is our Southwest Sector Attendance Initiative, and we'll call upon Superintendent Martel to introduce this very important topic, and we're excited to have some great guests from our staff. So I'll turn that over to you, Gordon.
Thank you, Chair Boyko. You'll notice we have a lot of guests in here because we've got three consecutive items following up with the MCHIP Early Learning Program, as well as the First Nations, Métis, and Inuit Education Board Monitoring Report. And I know we always aspire to have lots of visitors in the board meeting, and so we've sure got them this afternoon. So I would just welcome everybody, and we'll introduce them as their items arise. But I'm pleased to introduce the team to talk a little bit about the Southwest Sector Attendance Initiative. And just by way of brief introduction, we know that the pandemic has challenged many normal practices and had profound effects on many people in society and certainly within schools. And just a brief explanation of why this initiative is called the Southwest Sector Attendance Initiative. It's not that it's not for all schools, but the initiative really arose out of the advocacy of the Southwest Sector principals. And so they've been offering a level of stewardship that has really put the project where it is today. And so we're going to have a couple of principals I'll introduce in a moment lead through the discussion. But just in terms of framing what it's really all about, you know, I think back, those of us who have been around the table for a long time, back to the Building Bethlehem Everywhere document and policy framework. And a quote in there from the Fundamental Option for the Lost is that we often assume that the worst of all possible scenarios is to be lost. We know, in fact, that this is not true. The worst of all possible scenarios is to be lost and to realize that no one is coming to look for you. The aim of our Catholic schools is being together to evangelize must always be to ensure that no matter how lost our youth have become, as long as we have breath to draw, we will never stop looking for them. And of course, we understood that metaphor, that powerful metaphor, to be lost in many ways, not only physically, but the fact that the pandemic compounded the effect on youth and often vulnerable youth is really why the Southwest Sector principals, promoted the option to do something different and to attend to the lost in a way that really demonstrates who we are as Catholic educators and a Catholic faith community. And so I invite you just to keep that in mind as we talk a little bit about the challenge and the way that we resource the challenge and some of the early indicators of success that the group has achieved. And so I'm going to call on principals Teresa LaRocque and Nicole Isabel to introduce the item. And then they will turn it over in a moment to our care team, attendance care team, Stan Tuinkwafe, Corinne Dignes, and Laura Lee Sutherland, and they will introduce themselves as they take the virtual podium. So, Nicole and Teresa, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you so much, Gord, and thank you for your support to the board, as well as taking the time to listen to the impact that the Southwest Sector Attendance Initiative has had on our school communities. As Gord had mentioned, the pandemic has had great impacts on our society, and one of those is the operations of our schools. So the results of those interruptions manifested itself in many different ways. Student engagement with school and school attendance are concerns that, if left unchecked, might have long-term negative effects on learning and social goals. So the greatest gaps in school attendance are concentrated in the Southwest sector that typically serve, our schools typically serve more vulnerable students and a higher proportion of Indigenous students. Those characteristics predict that Southwest sector students who are not attending school or attending infrequently require specific supports to remain engaged with school. The Southwest sector attendance initiative strategies and resources help to address the unique needs of students in the sector, as well as students experiencing sporadic attendance in all schools. Nicole?
The Southwest Sector Attendance Initiative aims to identify the whereabouts of students, as well as the causes of their absenteeism, reclaim students not attending school, and enhance the attendance of students of concern. The specific goals of this initiative are to establish a data framework to identify trends in elementary student attendance, to provide information on specific students to facilitate appropriate interventions and supports, to establish the whereabouts of students who have not registered elsewhere or who are not currently attending school, to determine causality for students with attendance patterns of concern, to establish relationships with families and students not attending school or experiencing poor attendance, to provide learning supports for students with impediments to regular school attendance, to create pathways to reconnect students with a school and classroom context, and lastly, to assist students to incrementally improve their attendance. So with these goals in mind, the attendance care team was created. This team has surpassed expectation thus far, and we look forward to seeing what the next 3 months will bring. So please join us in welcoming the team, Corinne Dignes, Stan Tuinukuafe, and Laura Lee Sutherland.
Hi, everybody, and thank you for having us join you today. My name is Corinne Dignes, and I am one of three members of the Attendance Care Team Initiative. Before joining this initiative, I was a classroom teacher at St. Angela School, and before my time there, I was at Bishop Klein Community School and Bishop Roborecki Community School. Prior to joining this initiative, Stan Tuinkwafe was a social worker at Oskayak High School and has been there for 10 years. He also recently spent some time at St. Francis School before joining in on this initiative. Laura Lee is also an attendance care team member. She's an Aboriginal Student Achievement Coordinator in the division. Before joining this initiative, Laura Lee was serving students at Bishop Roborecki School and St. Francis. As an attendance care team, we have found things that work well and, of course, some challenges. One strength of the initiative is the varied background that the team members bring to the table. We all feel like it is a very well-rounded team, and we each bring different life and professional experiences. The availability to many supports from the board office has been essential to our success. I know that I have reached out to many consultants to support me in meeting families' needs. Also, having the funds available to support the families we are serving is paramount. We were able to help one family with attendance by providing transportation. This particular family was living in a hotel, and the team was able to help him find housing. Since he had zero furniture, we provided the family with air mattresses so the students could get a good night's sleep before coming to school for the day. We also provided some household necessities to that family. Other examples include providing learning materials, shoes, and school supplies for students. We are finding that the processes we have established in reaching out to students are working well. After we meet with the school team, we start trying to make contact with students. We make 3 calls to the contact provided. We might text the parents, try to locate them on social media, and then if no contact has been made, we will do a home visit. Possibly one of the most important strengths is the connection and relationship we are able to build with families over time. And of course, it does take time to build up and build up the trust needed to form these relationships. Another very important piece of the puzzle is staying connected with the student's homeschool. We have found that it is imperative to be on the same page when it comes to philosophies on student re-engagement and plans that involve students returning to in-person learning. And we'll move on to the challenges. Challenges are a part of every new endeavor, and we have encountered a few since starting this initiative. One challenge is the communication gaps that we have encountered. Some staff, such as office coordinators, are not aware of the team or the initiative. In one particular case, an office coordinator was reluctant to give information because she wasn't sure who we were. A quick discussion and explanation was helpful in clearing that up. It has been difficult to keep track of some of the students on our list in terms of them registering at a different school or even re-registering at the same school. It would also be helpful to know when CUME records are requested in the case that we have a child on a deleted list. This is one challenge that we will continue to work on. We have found that there have been some difficulties with the technical issues the division has experienced. We rely on Maplewood for student contact information, checking student attendance, as well as looking to see if CUME requests have been made. As a team, we were able to find alternatives to Maplewood, but it did affect the daily work of the team. In terms of students getting to school after we have reached out, we have seen that the inclement weather in February played a part in attendance rates that month. This is especially noticeable at schools where most of the students bus from different areas of the city. Not a challenge within our control, but still a challenge nonetheless. Isolation has played a role in the initiative as well. In one instance, we had just finished contacting all the parents of students in the red and black and online truancy lists, and the school transitioned to online learning because of a COVID case. Again, I acknowledge that this is out of anyone's control and it is necessary. It was just one added challenge in getting students to engage. Also, students are marked absent during any isolation period if they are present during online learning, so that will affect data. Incorrect contact information has been a major hurdle in trying to connect with some families. We have found that approximately 10% of students' addresses are incorrect. Many of the students we have not been able to make contact with fall into that category. Building a relationship takes time, so another challenge is calling or visiting families that have never met us. We have limited knowledge on every student's background and home life. As stated earlier, we have found that parents do open up quite quickly and are willing to work with us to support their children with attendance. As a team, we are dedicated to looking at the data and using that to inform us on what is working and what needs to be addressed. We are finding that because students are moving schools, increasing or decreasing attendance for various reasons, and registering from the withdrawn list, that it is a challenge knowing exactly how many students have improved their attendance. That being said, we are hearing from schools that the initiative is working and that they are seeing improved attendance rates. They are also seeing students coming in to register that have not been in school for almost a year. And one last challenge we want to mention is the number of students that needed to be reached. As a team, we strategically planned out how to reach out to over 1,100 students. We wanted to reach out to as many students as we could in the shortest amount of time in order to get these students engaged in learning. And I will pass it over to Laura Lee.
All right, thank you, Corinne. Some of the supports that our care team have provided includes technology loans and technical assistance for our online learners. These supports consist of tech loan requests, password resets, and home visits and calls, walking the families through the process step by step. Like, for example, we had a grandparent who was caring for their grandchildren, and they just didn't have the technical knowledge to assist their grandchildren with logging in and navigating the Google Classroom. So we were able to do a home visit and sit with them and get them through the setup for Google Classroom. And we've also been assisting some families with their Jordan's Principal application so they can get their own tech. We provided learning packages. So these are for both online and in-school students who are unable to participate for whatever reasons. And this includes books and novels, flashcards, various workbooks, and school supplies. For transportation, we've provided bus passes and tickets to students and families, as well as cabbing when needed. And as Corinne had mentioned earlier, we were able to assist a family of four, which included a single dad and his three kids, in finding stable housing after living in a hotel since November. And furthermore, we have been able to help families with food resources and delivery as needed. Additionally, we have been able to act as the liaison between families and schools by facilitating communication regarding registrations, re-engagement plans, and reasons for disengagement. For example, some students starting to attend partial days and working their way up to full time just to get them comfortable with their being in school. Next slide, please. So the causality for non-attendance encompasses various explanations, and these are the ones we felt were significant. So family instability, which included homelessness, addictions, incarcerations, and financial difficulties. And for example, like one of our team members was in contact with a student family member, and 20 minutes later, that student was actually arrested and incarcerated. Mental health concerns, death of family members. Sometimes we have families who have multiple deaths within their family within a short period of time. We also have had students who've lost immediate family members, such as parents. We've noticed an increase in anxiety and depression. We had one student who was admitted into the Dubé Center twice since we've been in contact with them. And we are finding isolation, loss of routine, and just the unknowns of COVID have been a big factor in the rise of mental health concerns, which brings us to the COVID-19 related concerns. So we're finding multiple family members needing to self-isolate at different times, students living with siblings, our other family members that are immunocompromised, young parents not feeling safe taking their children to daycare or using the public transportation, heightened feelings of helplessness, boredom, loneliness, and depression due to being isolated. Lack of timely and current information. So families and students are not understanding educational options available, like gradual return to work plans or online learning. They're also not understanding what changes schools are doing to keep the children safe, as well as what school options are available to support. Next slide, please. So there were several unexpected discoveries that our team encountered. The first one being parents unaware. So we found that parents were often unaware that school was not optional and not mandatory, similar to that period between March and June of last year. Like discussed previously, we've noticed that online families were unsure of how to navigate online and no access to technology. Many families had limited knowledge of technology use, and families who opted for online learning actually had no working technology. So the next one we found was that there was no parent or guardian help desk for technical issues. There was no recourse for the parents. The only support they had was the online teacher, and sometimes this was not accessible. So the care team recommends that a help desk specifically for online learners could be considered maybe moving forward. Parents' online expectations. Parents expected the same supports as in school, like the one-on-one support. They expected instant direct support like they would usually get from EAs and in-class teachers, but due to the nature of online, this is just not possible. So these are just some of the discoveries we've made. Now I'll just hand it over to my colleague, Stan, and he'll kind of go through some of our data. Thanks.
So good afternoon, everyone. For my part of the presentation, I will share the data our attendance care team has been able to collect since we started this very important initiative. Since we started this initiative, our team has made 2,030 contacts. As mentioned by Corinne, these contacts are connecting with students on the phone, social media, home visits, whatever way we can to connect with these students. As well, our attendance care team has strategically targeted schools with the highest concentration of students who are in the black and red category. And these schools are Osgoodik High School, St. Francis Cree Bilingual School, and St. Mary Wellness Center. And as mentioned by Crane earlier, as we're doing door knocks and phone calls, we have identified that 10% of the students' addresses were incorrect. The following slide shows that the ministry has identified as withdrawn and or deleted students. Sweet here. Sorry about that. For this next slide, I will provide a picture of students' experience in cyber school at the elementary level. In September, there are approximately 1,500 online students. Currently, there are approximately 1,250 online students. As of December, data showed 183 truant online learners. How online school defines truant learners are students that haven't handed in any assignments. March data showed 108 truant students. Reviewing the data will highlight two categories in the following table. Face-to-face, our care team has assisted a portion of the 65 students who have returned face-to-face learning. Re-engaged, our care team has supported 26 students to be re-engaged in their online learning. If I could get the next slide, please. The following slide shows the ministry has identified as withdrawn and or deleted students. As of December, the data identified 170 withdrawn students. Reviewing the data, I will highlight three categories in the following table. Registered. Our care team has supported 56 students in registering in various schools. Not registered. These students have been contacted by our care team, but they have yet to register. Referred to board office. These are students who have moved to a First Nation community. The Learning Services team at the board office will be working with the care team to make contact. Next slide. My final slide shows the following. From November 2020 to March 2021, there was an increase of 533 students in the face-to-face learning category. This increase is due to new registrations and or students returning from online learning. This enrollment increase can perhaps explain the following. Increase of numbers in the black category by 31 students. Decrease of 4 students in the red category. decrease of 47 students in the yellow category, increase of 553 students in the green category. Increase in categories above black are likely due to movement from red to yellow and yellow to green. Something also to consider is students who have to self-isolate will likely move categories because they are marked as absent. I'll turn it over to Corinne.
So our mission in this initiative was to make a difference in student lives and in their family lives, and we believe that we are doing that, and we will continue to do that. Pardon me, I hope the announcements don't interfere. We have been hearing from parents that they're very thankful for the work that we are doing, and they're very appreciative of everything, and they know that it has been a hard year for everyone, students and teachers involved. One grade 9 student answered the question, "Why do you think this initiative is important?" And their answer was, "Because every student needs to learn. I was out of school for 2 years before someone contacted me." Another student quote was, "It was good to know someone cared and that they got encouragement not received outside of school." So this particular student wasn't feeling like he or she was supported from people outside of a school community, and they really appreciated that extra push. An Aboriginal student achievement coordinator said, "The attendance care team provided our school with much needed support in tracking down low or non-attenders during COVID. Immediately following their week of phone calls and visits, we noticed an increase in the number of students returning. Overall, because of their efforts, we've noticed students attending more regularly who weren't before." And we're also hearing from administrators that this initiative has prompted the school to create procedures within the school to target attendance. Thank you very much for having us, and I'll pass it over to Superintendent Martel.
Thank you very much. Thanks to the team and to the principal leads on this project. And again, we're just happy to bring a profile of this particular initiative to the board. And it's part of a complex network of initiatives that the division has undertaken to respond to pandemic conditions. But certainly there's an element here that we've learned in terms of caring and ministering to students that aren't engaged with school. We know schools are the best place to be for a lot of reasons, learning and social goals alike. And we're just very proud of the team that they've been able to address an acute need and contribute to our learning as an organization as we continue to adapt to meet the learning needs of our diverse community. So with that, I'll pause and certainly Chair Boyko open it up if there's any questions or comments by the members of the board.
Thank you, Gord. I see Trustee Jelinski would like to make some comments.
Thank you, Diane, and to the committee. When I read this over the weekend, what struck me, this is a sad news and yet slash good news story. For many reasons, kids aren't in school. But the good news is how you folks are supporting these kids. Throughout the report, I got a good feeling of how we as a school division are addressing attendance issues. And not only by reading it, but your presentation this afternoon highlighted that as well. Gordon, I liked how you said at the very beginning how we as a Catholic school division operate on that preferential option for the poor. And this is so well summed up in the concluding statement in our report here today, and I'll quote, "This exemplifies an ethic of care and ensures that students and families know that they are not lost, but they are part of a caring and loving family of schools." When I read that this weekend, I'll tell you, I was very moved. Again, it reinforces who we are, what we are as a Catholic school division. This proclaims the good news, and I thank you folks for your initiative, and I thank the board for its leadership here. Like, this is so much of who we are. And I mean, there's work to be done, but thank God we have you guys doing it. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Trustee Jones.
Thank you, Tim. Very well said. Any other comments or questions, trustees?
Diane, if I may.
Yes, Wayne.
Thank you for that presentation. When this pandemic, started some time a year ago, we thought by this time, it would be beyond us. But here we are today. The committee mentioned out in their presentation with the goals, we talked about, you talked about the next 3 months. Will this work continue on into the summer and to the new school year, or as long as needed, or where do you see us into the future with the good work that you're doing?
Yeah, thank you for the question, Trustee Stoos. Certainly, there are some elements that will be extended into the summer months, such as having a resource available to reconnect with Oskayak students. So we've got an initiative with the Oskayak leadership underway, or in development, I should say. In terms of the Constitution of the Care team, certainly it's one of many options that the Executive Council is currently examining in terms of our fall response to the pandemic and the conditions. But I would say, notwithstanding the outcome of those deliberations, there, again, as an initiative of the Southwest sector, we've all learned to do things differently through this initiative in terms of students that are not typically attending. In all schools, but particularly the Southwest sector schools, there's always an initiative to reconnect with students that aren't connected. But as I said, we've learned to change practice. And so I can say with certainty there are elements that will continue. The constitution of the team will be a result of the deliberations of Executive Council in terms of crafting a response for next year. And elements will be extended over the summer months, as I said, especially around Oskayak.
Thank you, Gord. I'm not seeing any other questions or concerns, and I will echo what Tim and Wayne alluded to, and I'm sure that all of us feel as a board just how important this work is, and to thank you, Corinne, and Laura Lee, and Stan, for taking this initiative in such a positive manner and looking for those kids and loving those kids and making sure that they know that they are well loved and that they have a place in Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools family. And so we appreciate all the work that the ACT team is doing. And of course, to Teresa and Nicole, we couldn't be doing a lot of this work without the support of our administrators in our schools. So thank you to you, both of you as principals who understand what this means and are willing to go, I guess, the next step when it comes to ensuring that those children are looked for. I think all of us would wish you well in your continued endeavors and to make sure that you also take care of yourselves, to make sure that you are healthy while you're leading, I guess, in this initiative for all of us in the division. So thank you and God bless all of you for all your good work. So trustees, the recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information as presented in the Southwest Sector Attendance Initiative Report. I'll require someone to move that motion. Thank you, Dana. I'll require someone to second that. Thank you, Trustee Burscheid. All those in the negative, that motion is carried. And thank you again, and God bless all of your work. Well, Gord, you were right. 6.2 is the St. Michael Community School Mitchiff Bilingual Program, and so we'll turn that over to you to continue.
Great. Thanks so much, Chair Boyko. And we're just thrilled to bring this good news story, another good news story forward to the board. It seems like just yesterday we were talking about the generous gift of Métis Nation Saskatchewan in terms of precipitating the start of the Mitchiff Kindergarten Program. And for many years, we've worked closely with Shirley Eisbister and Central Urban Métis Federation in promoting Indigenous and Mitchiff language at St. Michael and throughout the division. And, you know, for this new collaboration to emerge with Métis Nation Saskatchewan was really a gift that kind of catapulted our language goals forward and really helped to answer our calls to action in the division as it relates to the protection and proliferation of Indigenous languages. And so shortly I'll turn it over to Coordinator Cornelia Laliberty to introduce the team and to bring forward the report today. But I want to especially welcome our guests. I know President Shirley Eisbister was between engagements. I'm not sure she was able to join us yet, but I'm thrilled that we have the Director of Early Learning and Other Portfolios, Lisa Fleming, with us from Métis Nation Saskatchewan today. So thank you, Lisa, for your engagement in this presentation today. And with that, I'll turn it over to Cornelia for the presentation with her team.
Thank you, Gordon. And thank you to everybody for time on today's agenda to go through this. So the presentation that we have today, I will have, there are a few people on the team that will be contributing to the presentation as we go. So as Gordon mentioned, Lisa Fleming is on the call right now. Principal Kristen Dorgan-Lee, our Métis Education Program leader Dana Inkster, as well as the Kindergarten Mitchiff Bilingual Classroom teacher, Vanessa Gardner, and our language teacher at St. Michael, Sandra Laliberty. So that is the team, and as we go through, I turn it over to them at different times to ask them to speak to specific slides. So the Mitchiff, the board would be well aware that we have had core Mitchiff programming at St. Michael's School for the last 2 years. It started as an aspiration of the partnership that we do have with Central Urban Métis Federation Incorporated. And last year, the Métis Nation of Saskatchewan came forward with funding available to 6 schools across the province, representing 6 different school divisions that you see on your screen. And we were lucky enough and fortunate to be one of those school divisions chosen, and chose to have the Mitchiff Bilingual Kindergarten Program at St. Michael Community School. So I believe that the Mitchiff Early Learning Pilot Project is being extended further beyond the 6 schools as of next school year. Lisa, is that's correct? It's extending?
Yes, that is correct.
Right. So it's been really exciting and fortunate for us to be part of a Mitchiff learning community, if you would. The Métis Nation of Saskatchewan brings together these 6 schools together quite frequently, so we're able to collaborate. Although we don't all work on the same dialects of Mitchiff, we are working towards the same goal, and that's Mitchiff revitalization and preservation within our schools. And we really have appreciated the collaboration that this partnership has brought, and look forward to the program moving forward. Was there anything that you wanted to add, Lisa, at this time?
Thank you very much, Cornelia. And I just want to say thank you to British Saskatchewan Catholic Schools for this opportunity to build a partnership with Métis Nation Saskatchewan. We're very, very pleased with the programming that's happening at St. Michael's School, and the leadership by Superintendent Martel, Principal Dorgan-Lee, and the team of Dana Inkster, Vanessa Gardner, Cornelia Laliberty, and a special appreciation to Sandra Laliberty, who without we would be able to put together this excellent program that she has been giving direction to. So thank you very much for this opportunity, and we look forward to our continued partnership.
Thank you, Lisa. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Principal Dorgan-Lee to talk a little bit about the kindergarten program.
Thank you, Cornelia, and for all the trustees here to celebrate with us some Métis good news here at St. Michael Community School. We were so thrilled to have the opportunity to partner with Métis Nation of Saskatchewan and to have this unique learning opportunity with the language and our culture. And it has just been thriving here at St. Michael Community School as more students and families got to know about the program, because we started this up in the middle of the pandemic. As more community members heard about the good things happening here, more and more families reached out to be part of it and to be part of the learning. And so I'm going to ask Vanessa just to highlight a few of the wonderful things that have been happening within the Mitchiff classroom. Vanessa.
Hi there, Tensa. So some of the highlights that we have so far, I teach Fontes and Pinnell daily in all my teachings. So we tied in the Mitchiff language. There's Mitchiff books that were developed. So each book that was created were concepts and themes that we were required to cover in kindergarten. With spirituality, students recite prayers, they sing songs. Some students even independently lead prayer and those songs in the Mi'kmaq language. Some parents are happy to hear the language at home, and students are teaching the families the Mi'kmaq language as well. So, yeah, those are some of our highlights thus far.
Thank you, thank you. Merci, Vanessa. And I'd just like to add to that, in our morning announcements, we always do it virtually, and we incorporate the language within our morning announcements. And the kindergartens have been teaching the rest of the school how to respond, thanks to the leadership of our knowledge, our language keeper here with Sandra Laliberty. And so those kindergarten class has taken a real leadership role within language within our classroom as well. All right, we'll go on to the next slide, because as we were working with the kindergarten Mi'kmaq bilingual program, we also developed some information. Oh, look at those cuties. Aren't they amazing? We also developed a little video about around some cultural teachings as well with Louis Rialde. So I think that, yes, Sandra is going to share that with us to celebrate.
I think that's me. That's okay. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Thank you, Dana.
That's okay. So last fall, our students at St. Michael's Schools were able to kind of participate in a variety of lessons that highlighted heroes as long with Louis Riel, but also the Métis language and culture. And so we do have a little video clip here that highlights and encompasses all of the teachings, but particularly the beginning with our little Mi'kmaq kindergartens who are leading us in prayer in Mi'kmaq. And this would have been last fall, so only a few months into the program, and they were so brave and confident to share their learnings with us. So if you would just enjoy it, thank you again.
Yes, one of the Métis leaders that lived in the Métis.
And he like tried helping. Well, he did help the Métis like move forward a lot. And that's what our school's about now, because of what they all did to help us.
We learned about the Métis history and how the Métis people are, well, how the Métis Nation was created and what they created and about their culture.
Egua.
Egua.
Pipago.
Pipago.
Einanu.
It'll help us learn new skills and pretty much teaching us about like what the Métis did to like, have fun and stuff.
Thank you, Cornelia. If we could have the next slide, that would be great.
One moment.
It is so great to hear the language and see the cultural learnings throughout our curricular outcomes through there. And you could hear the fiddle music in the background. That's from one of our two fiddle CDs that we have released with through St. Michael Community School. Thank you. So we were wonderful. We were so happy to have an increased number of students attending our program. As I said, as the word got out within the community, we had more and more students registering for our program for this Language Nest model. And we're really excited about that. Our students are now becoming independent speakers. Not only do they have a strength in the receptive language within the midship language, but they are now also independent within the expressive language as well, which helps to build them up. We've had a wonderful family engagement, even though it's been virtually. We hear back so often from our parents saying, my child is trying to teach me now how to do this, or they will ask to go to the bathroom in midship at home, and they're like, okay, you need to teach me what that is being said. So there's a sense of pride within that language and that confidence that is not just here at the school, but throughout our entire community. And that is something that we're really excited about. And we're so thankful to be partnering with the Métis Nation of Saskatchewan, Comfy, and GDI to uplift all of our Métis students here. So our program outcomes have been highly achieved here. Merci. Dana, I think you're next.
Sorry, just my mic there. So we are so honored and blessed to have such wonderful partnerships within the community. So on March 5th, along with our partnership at Comfy, we hosted a Métis Education Think Tank along with Saskatoon Public Schools. And it was a time for alike minds to come together and think about what Métis education, culture, and language looks like in the future. So we were able to collaborate as a team, joining alongside partnerships and school members. And we have some wonderful plans and organizations to kind of move forward in and to include more language and culture within our school alongside the support of our partners, and especially Saskatoon Public too in helping organize that event. And the biggest kind of piece that came out again was the continued use of language and the importance of having those programs and language keepers available for students to continue their learning, particular with midship. So lots of things to take away from it and lots of learning to do.
Thank you, Dana. As you know, we have our Métis education model that we teach through here at St. Michael Community School. April is the month of nature and revitalization, which fits in so well and beautifully with our Catholic season of Easter here, of hope and faith. And within we're really excited when we were connecting with our families. As we said, we have a close connection with our families here. And 100% of the students who are currently enrolled in our midship kindergarten program indicated that and confirmed that they want to register for the grade one bilingual program next year if it were offered through our division. And so we're really excited to have that move through. We believe that this is just yet another indication of the ability of us to provide a sense of pride, of cultural learnings here for our Métis here within St. Michael's School, and actualizing different parts of the calls to action and the UNDRIP with the United Nations Declaration on Rights of Indigenous People when it comes to languages. So we're really excited to be actively involved with that and having the Métis culture and the Métis language being offered again and growing into next year. Next slide, please. Merci. With the grade one, bilingual program, we can let you know that we're in a good stead for room to grow here next year. We have space within our school to grow, to have that extra classroom, and to have an opportunity to have yet more language keepers, or increase the language keeper role to extend into that grade one bilingual classroom, which will require 50% of the instruction to be done within our Indigenous midship language. So we're well prepared and positioned for that to move forward. Merci. Egwa.
Thank you, Kristen. So we also do anticipate for the fall, in order to be consistent with the language program that we've developed for the kindergarten midship bilingual, we would anticipate hiring a language keeper into the role for the grade one classroom to support them as well. Also, I believe that it was in your written report that you would have received, but we do have 11 students registered for Kindergarten Midshift Bilingual Program for the fall. Is that still correct, Kristen? That's 11? Yes?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So we're really, really excited about that. And at this time, I'm going to hand it back to Superintendent Martel.
Thank you, Cornelia, and thanks to all the team. As you can see, there's lots of passion around the language element and its contribution to the overall focus on Métis and Mi'kmaq education. And so we're very proud of the work that they've done at St. Michael Community School and with our Métis focus, our Métis School of Excellence, and the language component, as I said at the outset, is something that we've always aspired to, and now we're in a place where the community has really demonstrated their affinity with the program and their desire to remain in Catholic education and further their family's language and cultural learning goals. And so with that, we will turn it over to the board for any comments or questions that you might have.
Thank you, Gord. Trustees, any comments or questions that you'd like to make? I think all of you on the team know how important this program has been to Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools families. And I will thank you, Lisa, from the Métis Nation Saskatchewan, and I know you'll pass this on along to President McCallum and for the good work that all of you are doing to allow us to be able to expand the programming at Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools, and that we'll continue that programming and how it's just wonderful to be able to also have such a great partner that allows us to recognize the things that we need to do and to have the support that you've given us financially and support morally and academically. And we're just really pleased to be able to partner with all of you at the Métis Nation Saskatchewan. And of course, Comfy, the partnership that we have with them has been developed because of the wonderful relationship that we've had with them. And that's what the actualization of the program that we see now is because of all of that hard work. So thank you to Shirley and Evelyn and everyone at Comfy who does such a great job. Of course, Kristen and all of your team, we can't thank you enough to Vanessa and to Sandra and to Kelly and everybody that works so hard at St. Michael's at the program and Cornelia and Dana, the work that you do to support the program too is just incredible. And we all know how proud we were of being able to receive that Premier's Award. And that comes by all the hard work that all of you do in ensuring that this program is available for our students and their families and also being innovators and on the cutting edge of such an important programming. So we're all so pleased. So we know that the good work will continue. So the recommendation, trustees, that the Board of Education approve the designation of a Mi'kmaq Bilingual Grade 1 program at St. Michael Community School for the 2021-2022 school year. And I will require someone to move that motion. Trustee Beckler, Trustee Biblow is seconding that motion. I'll call for the negative vote. That vote motion is carried. And so again, I will say, and Sandra, you'll correct my language, my accent, I guess, on everything else. We will say Merci Jesus, and we'll say also Merci Omagitsi Gamian. Thank you for the great gift. Thank you for joining us. All right, trustees, we'll move along now to 6.3, the First Nation, Métis, and Inuit Education Monitoring Report. Mr. Martel, you have something else to tell us.
Yes, thank you, Chair Boyko, and I promise this is the last time you'll have to hear from me this afternoon. But we really appreciate the opportunity, and as you know, each of the areas of focus bring a monitoring report to the board annually, and we're pleased to do so today. We're taking a bit of a different approach in this one. The year was really characterized by maintaining our commitment to the goals in the First Nations Métis Inuit Education Area Focus Plan, as well as adapting for the conditions of the pandemic. And I want to applaud the team for the great work that they've done in both minding our commitments to the board, as well as adapting as every area of the division has to support teachers, to support students accordingly. And so today, no bells and whistles. We're going to run through a fairly brief report to the board, and just provide specific examples in each area that is related to our area focus plan, rather than a more comprehensive report as the board may typically be familiar with. But I will just say at the outset that the report or the work this year certainly was characterized by accountability. We have a high sense of accountability to the area focus plan. Through the area focus committee, we develop goals that become the marching orders of the team, and this is how we contribute to the advancement of the goals in First Nations, Métis, and Inuit education. And so we really aim for that consistency, but also we maintained and I would say even enhanced our collaboration both internally and externally. Internally, there's much more cross-pollination between this area of focus and the other areas of focus and the school communities. And so the team has really embedded their work within the context of the Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools community. And I think that's, you know, partly the demand of the schools and partly the extension of the desire to collaborate from the team. And also our external partnerships. You know, with this report, we typically have our partners come to the table. We'll return to that mode of reporting, you know, certainly in the future. But the work with Central Urban Métis Federation and with Saskatoon Tribal Council continues. They're active participants in crafting the area focus plan. And we've got many initiatives that we conduct alongside of those organizations. And you'll certainly see them referenced in the report today. And so I will turn it over to Cornelia, and she can introduce the team as we proceed through the monitoring report.
Thank you, Gordon. So on the call today, so we have all the members of our team, which include Gary Bowden, Rhonda Smallchild, Delvin Kaniwiakihu, Dana Inkster, Samson Lamontang, Crystal Chief, and Kelly Findey. I'll ask each of those people that will be presenting in this report just to introduce themselves when that time in the agenda comes. So this background information slide was really about trying to articulate the unique niche that our team serves within Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools. So you can see on the picture there that we did celebrate our first Ribbon Skirt Day earlier in March. So that was there as well. So in the picture, obviously, it's not just members of our team, but everybody at the board office. So the next slide is related to the policy context or drivers in First Nations, Métis, and Inuit education, both federally and provincially. So what we wanted to do was, I guess, bring into a little bit more context for First Nations, Métis, and Inuit Education Commission and the Truth and Reconciliation Calls to Action and their relation to the provincial policy work, as well as our board goals, area focus plan, and partnerships that Gordon spoke to. This one was about how we go about doing our work. So we are collaborative within the First Nations and Métis community and organizations across the province, as well as within the city, through the partnerships that we have with Central Urban Métis Federation Incorporated and Saskatoon Tribal Council, as well as some more that you heard about earlier today, including the Métis Nation of Saskatchewan, GDI, OTC, and the Federation of Sovereign Indigenous Nations. So we work alongside teachers in schools through the Area Focus team, as well as FNMIE school reps and Treaty Catalyst teachers. So these are the four areas that the four theme areas that our Area Focus plan is split into. So how the presentation is going to look from now is we're going to highlight one specific initiative within each of these four. We will start with the student supports and transitions area. So this specific goal area includes all of the goals that our team does that's specifically related to the work that we do with First Nations, Métis, and Inuit students in our schools. The specific initiative that we will talk about is a goal related to sense of belonging, and the reason why this goal is in our area focus plan for this year was as a result of direction from our board, I guess, from yourselves regarding the sense of belonging, our school survey data that you had to, that you looked at in the 2019-2020 school year. So we made a goal specific to increasing sense of belonging among Indigenous students in grades 5 to 8. So with that, I'm going to pass it over to Kelly Finday.
Good afternoon. My name is Kelly Finday. I'm new to Greater Saskatoon Catholic School Division. I'm loving every minute of it and new to the First Nations, Métis, and Inuit team as well. What a great place to be and a great place to work. So to date, 9 of the 10 Southwest Sector schools have implemented an initiative within their schools to increase a sense of belonging for First Nations, Métis, and Inuit students, targeting grades 5 through 8. By the end of June, all 10 of the Southwest Sector schools will have implemented an initiative within their school. So as each community has different needs, I'm working with the administrators to establish their initiative that will support their students and staff. Several schools I've worked with have chosen to gather student voice to help guide their initiatives within their school. At St. Francis Bateman, we held a high preparation camp with the grade 7-8 class, the grade 8 Equal Justice, along with the grade 9 Cree class. So students got to experience processing a hide from start to finish. This included stretching, fleshing, scraping deer hides with the help of the traditional knowledge keeper and one of our elders, Jeanette Bugler. The experience was educational, it was empowering, and it was so healing for our students. I'm currently working with Bishop Klein School on making ribbon skirts with the grade 7 and 8 girls. The girls have been working hard these past few days and are excited to wear their skirts with pride, as well as sharing their teachings they have learned with their classmates as well as with their families. The girls would like to wear their ribbon skirts on May 5th to honor as well as to bring awareness to murdered and missing Indigenous women. By the end of June, all of our 10 schools from grade 6 to 8 will have engaged in land-based learning opportunities at either Eagle Creek or at Wanuskewin. And students will experience a variety of teachings, including historical teachings, medicine and teepee teachings, hide preparation, snaring, survival skills, just to name a few. Opportunities to connect with and on the land is helping to build teacher and student cultural competencies, helps to reclaim and affirm cultural identity, as well as instilling resilience within our youth. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. The next area that we have to highlight in this report is the area of school collaboration. So as mentioned earlier in the slide, we collaborate with school and school teams through a cycle of co-planning, co-teaching, and reflection. Although the pandemic has slightly changed the way in which we do business, we wanted to talk about the way in which our team has adapted to that change. So I'm going to pass it over to Rhonda Spallchild.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for allowing the time for us. And my name is Rhonda Smallchild, as introduced. I just wanted to start off to introduce to you our First Nations, Métis, and Inuit Education Resource Hub. We began with treaty education, asynchronous resources that would support our teachers. Since launching in January of this year, we have approximately 402 active viewers visit the hubs. Every piece that we would normally offer in face-to-face professional development sessions started to shape our hubs. We always strive to provide an understanding of the treaty education outcomes for each grade. The supporting resources the division has purchased for treaty education and reconciliation, and how to use those resources that align with Saskatchewan curricula. There are First Nation, Métis, Inuit education hubs that are grade level specific. They maintain the work we've done in the past and engage current teachers, especially new teachers to the division. We now have a concise and sustainable space where teachers can peruse and find material to use in their classrooms, even the online classroom teachers, right at their fingertips and at their own time. The FNMI hub is so helpful when we as consultants are co-planning and co-teaching with teachers in treaty education lessons and units. The hubs are collaborative. So with the permission, the next slide, please. With permission, we can share the newly created ideas from co-planning and give that new material a home inside the great appropriate hubs for other teachers to use. We have received an abundance of positive feedback from principals and teachers alike. The FNMI team has put a lot of work into the creation and the maintenance of the hubs. We are pleased to see that Treaty Education and the necessary supports are in place during the pandemic. Teachers are seeing and understanding that Treaty Education has cross-curricular correlations to all the core subjects. As teacher capacity grows, they are successfully weaving multiple outcomes across multiple subjects with these carefully planned lessons and activities. The resource hubs are evergreen and growing. Not only do we have content for Treaty Education, we were able to expand to include Métis education, reconciliation, storytelling, culturally responsive and relational pedagogies, and now in the process, land-based education ideas and supports, which you can see here on this slide. I want to thank you for your time again. And that is everything.
Thank you, Rhonda. So the next goal area that we wanted to highlight is the integration of Indigenous epistemologies. So within this goal area are goals specific to how we incorporate Indigenous epistemologies in the work that we do with our school communities. So specifically, I guess, to highlight right now would be the integration of land-based learning that we do for schools and with schools. So I'm going to pass it over to Delvin Kanawiakihu and Crystal Chief.
Okay, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Delvin Kanawiakihu. I work as a consultant with the board. Anyway, in our First Nations ways of knowing, we understand that land is very important because land is our great mother, Mamo Yugawimau. And our great mother provides for us all the raw material that we get from her through brilliant work of our fellow human beings. We get what we have today, the very computer that you're using to look at us and to hear us, and your beautiful office or home that you're stationed in, and our beautiful city, which is situated on Treaty 6 territory. Everything comes from the land. All that we wear, all that we eat, all that we use, all the technology comes from the land in some way. And so when we go to the land, we use Indigenous science to help our young people understand their connection to the land, thusly as well with the universe. Because after all, if there is a great mother, there is a great father, who we call Mamo Yotawimau. So through Indigenous ways of knowing, we teach these young people that come out on the land to understand more about Indigenous science and how it supports Western science. Through Indigenous science, we teach about prayer. We teach holistic education that touches the body, the mind, the spirit, and the feelings. So this is what we do out on the land at Eagle Creek. And that's just a snapshot through my words of the work that we do with our great mother and our great father and us as their children. Thank you. And Crystal will talk a little bit about Indigenous ways of knowing and the land that she uses over there at St. Francis. Okay, Crystal, your turn.
So my name is Crystal Chief. I greet you all. So one of my portfolios, the roles that I have with this role, I have Indigenous languages, PD schools, and also the land-based learning at St. Francis School. With the land-based learning at St. Francis Cree Bilingual School, thus far we have completed fall and winter programming. This program includes students from K to 9 at sites at Eagle Creek, Blackstrap, and this was also further brought into the schools. The program showed positive outcomes. The students were able to grasp language and culture more effectively. It's regarded as highly successful from the positive feedback we received from staff and administrators. We were also able to see these outcomes from our observations as facilitators. The students were enthusiastic, engaged, interested enough to become immersed in the Cree language and cultural activities. This helps to facilitate connections with the land as well, and resulted in students developing a holistic approach. Now, some of these activities included rabbit snaring, hand games, fire building using traditional tools, hide preparation, ice fishing, drum making, ribbon skirt and shirt making, animal tracking, and snowshoeing. It was there. I'll hand it back to Cornelia.
Thank you, Crystal. So the last area that we wanted to highlight in the report is the area that we have for Indigenous language programming within our schools. So we do have Indigenous language programming related specifically to the Plains Cree and Michif language. So you heard about the Michif language previously. The specific initiative that we wanted to highlight in this report is the Cree Catalyst Teacher position that we have newly developed at St. Francis Cree Bilingual School. So in the 2019-20 school year, our school division developed a Cree oral language comprehension assessment. That assessment was developed last year and delivered to all students at St. Francis Cree Bilingual School. And the results of those assessments helped to determine the need for a Cree Catalyst Teacher position. So with that, I'm going to hand it back over to Crystal.
So the assessments indicated there was a high percentage of students who were needing this support in this area. From the results, approximately 121 students have been identified to receive this support. This is where we require the work of the Cree Catalyst teachers. I would like to emphasize the importance of these roles in filling those gaps in the Cree language. It is also notable that the format of support is based upon the ELA structure. This is crucial for development as creation of positive learning outcomes. We also want to mention that the outcomes for students would not be nearly as positive as we have witnessed thus far.
Thank you so much, Crystal. So that's it for those four specific areas. We just have a couple of more slides. So this one is, this specific slide is about our challenges and adaptions that we have made to the pandemic. So virtual teaching, although has been a challenge, has had some benefits to it as well, with the ability to reach more students in that way. We did have a virtual round dance that was held in March, on March 19th, I guess a month ago today. So that video is on our Facebook page. I guess another thing that we developed because of the pandemic is our Facebook page. And we so far have had 8,900 views on our round dance, and really, really, really positive feedback during the event as well as after. We had a far reach. I know that there was comments coming in from BC as well as Ontario during the event. So it was really, really nice to have that much of a reach, outward reach from our school division. Some of the 21-22 planning highlights. So we're looking forward to continuing our work with First Nations, Métis and Inuit organizations in Saskatoon, supporting teachers through collaborative means, but as well as really looking forward to face-to-face and continuing conversations related to anti-racist, anti-oppressive education in our schools, as well as supporting schools as well. So with that, I'm going to pass it back over to Superintendent Martel.
Thank you, Cordelia, and thanks to all the team. I'm sure that you can hear their enthusiasm, and we really have a great team. Their level of expertise is amazing, and as I said at the outset, they're very keen on the collaborations, and so they work with their fellow consultants and coordinators throughout learning services and student services, and they're very present in the schools, and I really think that that's helped to promote an adoption of an Indigenous education focus in all schools. So we're very proud of their work. We want to thank you as a board for the continual support of the Indigenous education component of the great work we do in the division. And Madam Chair, that is our report, and I'll turn it over for questions or comments.
Thank you, Superintendent Martel. Trustees, any comments or questions that you have of the team and their presentation? Well, I will say that all of us, Gordon, as proud as you are of your team, that extends to the board, and the work that the FMNI team does is exemplary, and it is exactly, I think, the vision of the board when it comes to support for First Nation and Métis students with the incredible team that you have gives us so much hope for the future, and we know that we're in the right direction. So I will say thank you to Gary and to Rhonda and to Delvin and to Dana, to Samson, to Crystal, to Kelly, and Cornelia, and of course yourself for all the good work that you do to ensure that this area of focus for the division is going in the right direction, and we just appreciate everything you all do. So, Ikosak and Marcy for sure. So, the recommendation, trustees, that the Board of Education receive the information as presented in the First Nation, Métis, and Inuit Education Monitoring Report. So, I'll require someone to bring forward that motion. Thank you, Trustee Jelinski, and I see Trustee Stoos is seconding that motion. I will call for the negative vote. Seeing none, that motion recommendation is passed. And again, thank you so much for the good work that your team does. I think that's the end of your day, Gord. You can go home now.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, everyone. All right, let's proceed to 6.4, Catholic Education Week, which is May 9th to the 16th, and World Catholic Education Day is May the 13th of this year. So Superintendent Gay has been working hard to ensure that we celebrate and document this week. So, Scott, I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks so much, Chair Boyko and trustees. Just have a very short report for you just to kind of give you some highlights of Catholic Education Week, May 9th to 16th, and World Catholic Education Day on May 13th, as was indicated by Chair Boyko. Really just wanted you to know that this year the theme is going to be Catholic Education, Nurturing Hope. And so there's a sub-theme for each day of the week. And the first day would be Preparing the Earth. Sowing Seeds of Gratitude would be on the Tuesday. Wednesday, Cultivating Relationships. And then on Thursday, which is World Catholic Education Day, Harvesting New Fruits. And Friday, which I really love the theme, Marveling in Wonder. And I think in a time when we're also challenged, you know, just to remind us of the wonder and beauty of our earth are all present during this, and in the fact that we get to celebrate that all through a Catholic lens. The materials are presented by CECAS, and that's a provincial body. And so we're all following as Catholic educators across the province. Some of the same daily social media blasts, media materials for the diocese and school boards to share. There'll be daily prayer for the teachers and students use on those days. And then on Thursday, there is a World Catholic Education Day liturgy with Bishop Hageman. And that'll be live streamed, and you're more than welcome to join that at the saskatoonmass.com site. And so that will be also archived, as is indicated in the report, so that if you weren't able to see it, then you would be able to at that point. And so we're doing the liturgy coordination for this year. So, it's a different year. We're not able to gather as we often have for a large scale event, but nonetheless, we really do want to celebrate this year of all years as we have processed through the Theodore court case. It'll be really an exciting time to truly celebrate Catholic Education Week, and I think of this marveling and wonder, I think we share in that as we move forward. So at this point, that would just conclude a very short report for you.
Thank you, Superintendent Gate. Trustees, any questions or comments you'd like to make? I think all of us are looking forward to that week, Scott. So thank you and your team for all the good work that you've done. We'll look forward to celebrating the whole week in style. And God bless all of you for the work that you do. So trustees, the recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information in the Catholic Education Week report as presented. I'll require someone to move that motion. Thank you, Trustee Carrier. Trustee Elliott is seconding that motion. I'll call for the negative vote. That motion is carried. Thank you again, Superintendent Gay. We'll look forward, I guess that's in 3 weeks, so, or maybe almost a month, a little less than a month. So we'll look forward to that. All right, we come next to our 6.5 pandemic information. Director Shatlin and Exec Council, what can you tell us?
I think as Trustee Stoos mentioned earlier, if you think back about a year or so, we all thought that perhaps by this point we'd be on the other side of it and things would be, pardon me, getting back to some sense of normalcy, but actually we're quite a ways away from that, it appears right now. And so I offer the report is there. I won't go through everything. Only highlight a couple of things. One is we continue to communicate again out to our schools and from our schools to our families the importance of the protocols that we do have in place. We are in a distinct period of increase in the number of daily cases, a variant of concern being firmly entrenched here in Saskatoon and making its way to become the dominant variant. It will likely become the dominant variant very soon. We know that the variant is much more communicable, and so the adherence to our protocols needs to be tighter than ever. We are in contact with our local MHO, I would say, at least daily, if not multiple times a day, particularly in these past couple of weeks as we have been ramping up to what we understand to be, the increase that we're experiencing now. And so that work and that partnership with the other boards in this area and our local MHO has been very active indeed. Fall planning is underway, but it seems a bit of a distant piece on the horizon right now, but we are getting our pieces in place for that. It is still a long ways off, though, and lots of variables at play yet before we are able to settle down on some plans for the fall. Online learning is one of those things we're planning for the fall. We are in the process of surveying our families to get some early indications as to how families are feeling about attendance in the fall and online learning in the fall. We'll bring back more information in that regard coming in the coming weeks. But just to state that since Christmas time, there has been a fairly significant steady flow moving from online learning back to face-to-face. That's been good to see, and but again, many families are still very pleased with the opportunity to have online learning. The vaccination process continues in the province, as you're aware. We have been continuing our advocacy efforts to help highlight the importance of accessing vaccinations for our frontline staff. Particularly as they work very closely with multiple families every day. So to that end, our board chairs worked together to design a common advocacy letter that was released on Friday. We have not heard any response yet from the ministry on that regard. Rapid testing, as we are heading into this increase in cases now, is becoming more urgent. We're still awaiting a third party here in Saskatoon. I have heard that one has potentially come forward, but they are working through the process now with SHA around their contract and such. So we wait for that. In the meantime, SHA is prepared to support us with limited amounts of local testing when we're required. We're looking carefully at that at this stage. As we know, for example, St. Francis experienced a surge in cases over the weekend such that we had to move this school onto level 4, and that might be perhaps an area where we look for some targeted testing as things look to return once they're able to. So with that, those were the main areas I wanted to highlight today. It is, again, a difficult time right now, much on the go. We continue to deal with it by the hour and by the day. And the staff continue to work very hard at the local community level to support our staff and our families in being able to attend as much as they can. But it's certainly a challenging time, and the time when we can start to feel a little more relaxation is coming, but it still feels fairly far off right now. So with that, I'll turn it over to any questions or comments others may have.
Thank you, Director Shetland. Trustees, any comments or questions that you have of Greg and his team? I'm not seeing any. Thank you for the good report, Greg, as always. Keeping us always up to date on a daily basis. Multiple times a day in some cases, yes. And we appreciate that. We appreciate that that information is at our fingertips for all of our constituents. I know I would just like to add that there was a letter that was sent to the Minister of Education advocating for increased vaccinations for our staff as far as timing, along with the Public School Board and Prairie Spirit. And so that kind of work also helps with ensuring that our staff know how much we care about them. So thank you for the good work that was done in that capacity. All right, trustees, the recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information as presented in the pandemic response update. I'll need someone to move that. Thank you, Trustee Beckler. I'll need someone to second that motion. Trustee Carrier, I'll call for the negative vote. That motion is carried. 6.5.2, the social health and wellness 21-day physical challenge, activity challenge. Superintendent Basilak, how did you do?
Well, I was very active for 21 days, but I've been inactive for 42, so this doesn't work well. Thank you, Chair Boyko. Just a continuation of the pandemic information report, focusing in on what would be, I guess, one of our most important resources, our human resources. And our social health and wellness committee was brought together in order to address staff wellness. And not to say that student wellness is not important. We know it is, and we've got many committees working on that aspect of things. You can see in the report just the broad scope of folks that we have involved with the committee and showing and providing us some direction and guidance on what we would be doing to support our staff. We've done many things from hubs, prayer to supports, sheets of where you can get some support and counseling, and added some counseling options as well for folks so that they're aware of that. One of the activities that we wanted to highlight, though, was the 21-day physical activity challenge. And you would have seen the poster attached to see what folks saw. And they were invited to do 30-plus minutes of physical activity a day between February 24th and March 16th. And we recorded their activity, the number of days that they were... the number of days... just the number of days that they were active, and we went out into the community to local businesses, and we were able to purchase and receive some prizes from four businesses within the city. Wanted to do more, but just time-wise didn't allow that. So we wanted to support local, the committee felt, during this time, particularly with the pandemic. We also were able to provide a lunch prize for any schools that had 70-plus percentage of their staff active. We drew names, and we were able to provide three schools with prizes. So 760 of our staff, 37%, were active. And we had 245 that were active every single one of the 21 days. So that was really good to see. We invited staff to provide us with a photo, which we then made a video, a collage for all the staff to take a look at. And I will send the link. I didn't want to place it into this report, but I will send the link out to trustees so you can take a look at it. It's about 5 minutes long, but somehow we got into a section of bringing your animals out for a walk as well, so you'll see that. But anyway, very exciting, and we wanted to make sure to highlight that for trustees and let you know what was going on, at least one aspect of it.
Okay, thank you, Superintendent Basilak. Trustees, any comments, questions? I guess I would ask how many trustees participated in that great initiative. Well, good for us, 10 out of 10. So maybe next year we will. So the recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information as presented in the Social Health and Wellness 21-Day Physical Activity Challenge Report. And I'll need someone to move that motion. Thank you, Trustee Bibelot. I'll need someone to second that. Trustee Beckler, I'll call for the negative vote. That motion is carried. Thank you very much, Superintendent Basilak, for all your good work to ensure that our staff feel that they're well looked after and respected. We appreciate that. All right, trustees, I will require someone to move us into committee, please. All right, trustees, we'll proceed now to 6.6, the financial statements, and Chief Financial Officer Lloyd will lead us in that discussion.
Thanks, Chair Boyko. Including the package is the updated financial statements until the end of February. I'll just go through a number of the variances that have been identified in the report. I'll just share my screen, if that's okay, Greg. So this is the last page of the financial statement report with the variance analysis. On the revenue side, property taxation is expected to be within budget. For grants, operating grants will be under budget due to revenue recognition. So last fiscal year, we received all of our grants as well as additional property taxation from education property tax. And due to the end of the fiscal year being the end of August, we received the full grant plus additional revenue, and there was no adjustment. The reconciliations for taxation happens the month after, which was in this school year. So how we've captured that is in our financial statements, we restricted $6.5 million. That was overpayment. And then we'll use it this year. And because of reconciliation, the $6.5 million comes off our grant this year. Overall, though, the grant includes operating grants as well as other ministerial grants. And our pandemic funding that we received was actually from finance. So it was through a different grant, and it'll be classified that way. So overall, grants will be over budget due to that pandemic funding that was greatly appreciated by our school division. Tuition-related fees, we did expect less international student program revenue, as we are seeing about a third of the kids that we usually see in schools. But a number of students were able to stay here and took online and other types of programming, as well as other school divisions accessed our cyber school program. So we are seeing increases in cyber school tuition. So we will be under budget, but not as much as we originally anticipated. School generated funds is the fundraising and school collections that our schools do at the school level. Both on the revenue expense side, we're seeing considerable drops in that, with really no fundraisers going on at schools and no class trips and so forth. Other than that, external services is the other item that is currently under budget, but we did receive $150,000 last month, and that is a shared services instructional initiative. And then lastly, other revenue. We've seen a drop in other revenue due to reduced food sales at high schools, no rental revenue for our schools, and also interest revenue. As interest goes down, any dollars that we have in our reserves don't collect as much interest. From the expense side, overall, we are staying within our variance threshold. Governance, we are anticipating to be under budget slightly due to no travel. School generated funds, like I mentioned earlier, we're seeing a reduction in those activities. And in complementary services is our pre-K programs. And what we're able to do this year is reallocate those staff to support kindergarten classrooms. And when we reallocate them to kindergarten, they show up in instruction. They don't show up under complementary services anymore. So overall, we are anticipating about 2.3 to 2.4% surplus this year. Half of that is attributed to a grant we received in March for pandemic funding for next year. So what we will do is any money that we are able to save this year, as well as that grant, we'll restrict and we'll use it next year to support the pandemic efforts, as well as student achievement and welcoming students and re-engagement as well. That concludes my overview. If there's any questions, Chair Boyko.
Thank you, CFO Lloyd. Trustees, any questions at this point for Mr. Lloyd? Hearing and seeing none, the recommendation that the Board of Education approve the accounts paid for the period January 1st, 2021 to January 31st, 2021 and February 1st, 2021 to February 28th, 2021 and receive the financial statements for the period ended February 28th, 2021. If someone could move that. Thank you, Deb. Dr. Trustee Burscheid, I'll have a seconder for that motion. Trustee Biblo, I'll ask for the negative vote. Seeing and hearing none, that motion is carried. Thank you, CFO Lloyd, for the good work you do in that capacity. Deb, did you have another question by any chance?
Sorry.
Okay, thank you. All right, 6.7, the 2021-22 Provincial Budget Overview by Director Chatelaine and CFO Lloyd.
Great, thanks very much. So April 6th was budget day this year, again, a few weeks later than typical. And so the administration is bringing for the board some of the general information that was received in our budget package on the 6th. CFO Lloyd will just walk us through some of those, the general messaging coming through that process. So I'll turn it over to Joel.
Thanks, Chair Sean. On April 6th, like Greg mentioned, the provincial budget was announced. pre-K to grade 12 education received $19.2 million. The increase is really the teacher CBA increase, the salary increase of 2%, and that makes up that overall amount. Interesting is we've been a sector of growth the last number of years, and this is the first year that the amount of students that are projected to be served is actually less than what we projected this year. And so the overall pool of money did not change, and we're appreciative of that, which meant that every student received a slightly more funding, about 0.3% more funding. So on top of the teacher CBA, we did receive 0.3% increase in funding to partially cover some of the inflationary costs that we are experiencing. Also announced just was the remaining unallocated funds for the pandemic contingency fund. So School Divisions, through three phases of application, applied for COVID funds, and there was $20.7 million left that was unallocated. And the government decided to just allocate the remaining funds to School Divisions based on a number of staff and number of students. And then divisions have the ability to restrict those funds for next year. And that would be what our plan would be, of course, pending board approval. School capital funding was increased. No new projects were announced, but the continuation of the projects that were previously announced, including our St. Francis Cree Bilingual School. So we're excited to see that project continuing and moving into construction. Education property tax rates, and you'll see in the next report, the rates are specified, were updated and increased based on the prior year. And that resulted in about $12 million more revenue for the province, which would have been contributed to part of the $19.2 million that was allocated. For the average homeowner, it's about $18 more per year. Preventive maintenance renewal funding, really the same allocation year over year. The overall pool didn't change. We received a 1.55% increase, and that's contributed to us adding some relocatable classrooms because it is based on square meters and enrollment. For relocatable modular classrooms, we did receive five new for our joint schools. St. Kateri, Tukwila, St. Lorenzo, and Holy Trinity will receive one classroom as well. So we're appreciative of that. We're still seeing growth even within this year for those schools, and likely we'll need more each year until the full build-out is achieved. For our school division, we did receive $2.5 million. $2 million of that would be teacher CBA costs. The other $500,000 would go towards, like I mentioned earlier, some of those inflationary costs that we're experiencing. Exec Council continue to do our normal processes following the board's principles and guidelines on budget development, and are planning to bring forward a balanced budget for approval in June. That concludes the report. Is there any questions, or if any other executive have anything to add?
Thank you, Superintendent Lloyd. Trustees, any questions, concerns? Jim?
Thanks, Joel, for that. I just want to clarify at the start, and then you concluded that we basically received $2 million, let me put it this way, 0.3% for other than our, the CBA obligations, and then you at the end said $500,000. Did I understand that right?
Correct.
So the $500,000, which is kind of very nice to have, is not very common, but. That's because we're serving less students now, but we're allowed to keep it. Is that what you're also saying?
Provincially, yes. For our school division, we are projecting 955 more students next year, which is exactly what we projected this year. So from a budget, because we're able to keep all the funding this year that we were provided on budget day based on serving those additional students, our number of students year over year from a budget perspective is the same. And the funding that we're receiving is the same, with the exception of those two increases. What's changed, though, is provincially, school divisions are projecting about a little less than 1,000 kids, less than what we projected this current fiscal year. So next year is 1,000 less kids. So overall, what they'll do is they'll take the overall pool of money for education and they divide it by less kids overall. So every student now is worth 0.3% more. So that's why we received some additional dollars. Our student is the exact same year over year, but every student's worth a slight bit more because the overall pot didn't shrink. It stayed the same size.
Okay. So I just want to go back on a comment now you made about we're forecasting 900 more students based on last year's projection. So is this all, pandemic exempt? Would we be on track with our numbers if there was no pandemic, or are we just starting to recover and get back on even keel where we should be? That makes sense.
Yeah, very much so. Very good question. Every year, especially the last number of years, we've been averaging like between 700 to 800 average is what we've been doing. We've had some years over 1,000 even. So if you look at 2 years of growth, a conservative number would have been around 1,200, but probably closer to 1,400 or 1,500. So we are anticipating some loss because we didn't see as much immigration, of course, this last year. So that 955, about three quarters of that would be just straight lines. So we move every grade up one grade. And because our K's and earlier years are larger than some of our graduating years, we see that kind of increase just in that straight line. So we're pretty confident in that number, as well as a lot of the 955, about half of it was contributed to pre-K and K. And we are anticipating higher numbers of those students returning to us next year as well. But we do know, and we'll make sure we're building our budget contingency, that the government has committed to adjust funding in September based on actual enrollments. So we are cautious of that as well.
Okay, I got it. Okay, thanks, Joel.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, Joel, if someone was to ask right now, Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools, if we created this year, minus the pandemic expenses and things, the increase that came to our division would pay for the collective bargaining agreement. But of course, we know the inflationary costs aren't included. It's kind of like Jim's question. Do we have a number that we can say that we will be funded this much less in the next year?
Well, yeah, and I guess we classify it as kind of erosion. We want to do, at the very least, what we're doing right now, next year, and then also provide the same level of service to additional students every year, right? And the unfortunate part is there's no recognition for support staff. You know, our support staff got us the exact same inflationary increase as teachers, which amounts to, you know, over $1 million, and there's no recognition of support staff, just teachers. So when we do kind of our estimates, we base on those inflationary increases. We're seeing increases in insurance premiums, and there's always increases in CPP and EI. We have inflationary increases of 2 to 3% on busing. So lots of those pieces. So for us, when we built budget this year, it was over $2 million that we were seeing, and that's a challenge. So every year when there's $2 million of erosion, then we're looking at, okay, where can we save, where can we cut? And we try to do the best we can, find efficiencies, even as much as garbage collection and LED investments and those types of things. And we've been very fortunate to achieve those savings and redirect those to cover that erosion. But it is $1.5 to $2 million each year as we are seeing inflationary increases in most of our services.
Okay, so that's a number that I can say, that $1.5 million.
And that's very conservative. Yeah.
Okay, that's a conservative.
Yeah.
No. Okay, thank you.
Jim? I just wanted, for the benefit of our new colleagues here, is that it's interesting. For the longest I've been on board, the government has always taken a great excitement, or the government, when they say budget time, that it's usually a percentage increase in funding, and that percentage increase is directly related to the CBA contract, you know, but they can get away with it, because truly, you know, and there was some time that they weren't even funding the CBA contract, as we come to know. So, you know, it just irritates me and frustrates me is that they are getting away, if I could use that term, of saying that, you know, it's a 2% unprecedented spending on education, but it's related to the contract, okay? And the erosion continues. you know, and we just can't seem to break through that. So, but we are appreciative of what we have, and we will continue to be so. So, anyways.
Thank you, Jim. Any other questions or comments, trustees, of Superintendent Lloyd and Director Shetland?
Diane, I got a quick question here in regards to earlier we heard from the Southwest sector attendance. We heard that the students that are not attending or started to attend and kind of got lost into the school year, the deleted students that the ministry didn't take account of, what kind of cost to the boards or to our board would that have been?
I don't know that exact number of how many students was targeted. I'm not sure if my exec council peers would know. Okay. But fortunately, like for this year, funding was not reconciled to actual enrollment. So we did receive funding for all the students we projected to receive. So that was extremely helpful because we could redirect those resources for initiatives like the attendance one that you heard about earlier, that those funds were based on that. So we didn't receive anything less. But going to next year, that's definitely a concern. It's something I know that group is working on tracking.
Yeah, that's what I would have indicated, Joel, is the thing worked out okay this year. We know that's not going to be the case next year. We'll have to readjust things in September. And so hence the importance of that that work, the earlier report, as we head into the summer and into the fall.
Thank you.
Okay, trustees, the recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information as presented in the 2021-2022 Provincial Budget Overview. I'll require someone to move that motion. Trustee Elliott, could I have someone second that motion? Trustee Seuss, I'll call for the negative vote. Seeing none, that motion is carried. Thank you, Joel. Chief Financial Officer Lloyd will also take us through the conversation about the 2021 education property tax mill rate.
Thanks again, Chair Boyko. Each year, the board is required to pass a resolution that sets the mill rate for our subdivision and within Saskatoon due to the bylaw that was approved back in 2018. So the report recommends or suggests to the board that the mill rates would be the same as the provincial mill rates, which were increased this year by about 7 or 8% for all those except for agricultural property, which was actually decreased by a little less than a percent. So overall, the raised $12 million for education, and that was part of the $19 million that we spoke to in an earlier report. That concludes my report. Is there any questions?
Thank you, Joel. Trustees, any questions of Superintendent Lloyd? Seeing none, the recommendation that the Board of Education for St. Paul's RCSSD number 20 pass a resolution exercising its constitutional right to levy education property tax and set education property tax mill rates, and in doing so, the aforementioned school division hereby sets education property tax mill rates as follows. Agriculture property, 1.36 mills. Residential property, 4.46 mills. Commercial industrial, 6.75 mills. And resource, which includes oil and gas mines and pipelines, at 9.79 mills. And by adopting the potential provincial education property tax mill rates as set by the Lieutenant Governor and Council for the 2021 taxation year. So I'll require someone to move that recommendation.
Trustee Case had her hand up earlier.
Thank you, Trustee Case. I'll need someone to second that. Trustee Beckler, I'll call for the negative vote. That motion is carried. Thank you, Joel. And you're up again for the Horizon School Division Joint Transportation Agreement.
Thank you. Included is a draft agreement that we've been working on for over a year now that really just formalizes the relationship that we've had with Horizon since, I think, amalgamation, really, in some form. So what it does is it speaks to the arrangement. It provides some clarification around costing and funding. It really outlines a joint management type system and shows that the benefits of working together with our counterparts. So within the agreement, it is perpetual. It only is terminated once one party provides advance notice. That gives certainty to both parties. Funding has also changed in recent years around urban transportation. In the past, Horizon School Division would receive funding based on their actual costs, and those costs included transporting all of our students. We also didn't have urban transportation 3 years ago, but now we do, and we receive urban funding for students, yet Horizon transports them. So that there is a need to formalize an agreement on how we cost share those routes and how the funding is provided, as well, even just from a liability perspective, and because Horizon really acts in the capacity of being the transportation provider, and we have no formal agreement that states that and ensures they're doing proper protocols as well. So that formalizes all those pieces and is, I think, a good template for us to use with other school divisions that we partner with on transportation, and that will be the next steps as we, if this is approved by the board today. From a termination perspective, notice has to be given on or before December 31st, which allows our board to go in to tender if ever needed to be and get a new transportation provider for these areas. Hopefully that never comes to that, but it does give us that latitude if required. A legal counsel for both school divisions have reviewed this agreement multiple times. This is the final form, and I believe Horizon School Division will be reviewing and potentially approving this as well this month. That concludes my overview, if there's any questions.
Thank you, CFO Lloyd. Any questions, trustees? Seeing none, the recommendation that the Board of Education approve the joint transportation agreement with Horizon School Division. I'll need someone to move that.
Trustee Burscheid.
Trustee Burscheid, thank you. Trustee Stoos, is that your hand up to second that motion? I'll call for the negative vote. Hearing and seeing none, that motion is carried. Thank you for the good work that you've done on this student transportation agreement, Joel, along with all your counterparts. As you said, it'll serve us well in any of the other negotiations that we have, so we appreciate that. 6.10, the driver education services. You're probably going to be able to go home for the rest of the week. You've got everything covered this week.
All right. Thank you, Chair Boyko. We have an arrangement with SGI, an ongoing arrangement where our board, we award contracts for driver education services, and then SGI reimburses us for the costs. And our prior contract is expiring at the end of this summer. So we issued a request for proposals for the next number of years. We did build an extension as well. So this gets us up to 5 years if everything goes well. There is a limited amount of companies that can bid on these. In the past, we had one, and we have been trying to work with independent contractors to try to get more and more providers just as a contingency, similar to what we do in school busing. We always want more than one provider now, if possible, just ensures that we have that contingency if ever needed. So we did receive four proposals back. That's been identified in the report. Clawson Driving School has been our main provider for a number of years. Infinity Driving was awarded a couple schools last year, or last contract, and then Leap Professional Driving School is a new company that put an offer in. Interesting, though, that owner is actually the driver ed instructor for St. Joseph High School right now, but under the Clawson Driving School contract. So they decided to submit their own bid was successful in actually keeping that school. So overall, the actual instructors and companies serving all of our schools won't change, but we will have now three providers for driver education services moving forward into the new contract, unless the board has any concerns with that. A city driving school did submit a bid, but it didn't reach the level of acceptability based on experience, qualifications, and so forth. So recommendation is to award to the top three companies. And like I mentioned, the school allocations will stay the same based on companies. The only difference is Clawson Driving School will lose St. Joseph. Leap Professional Driving School will pick it up, but it's the same individual for that school. That concludes the report. If there's any questions, Chair Boyko.
Thank you, Sue for Lloyd. Trustees, any questions, concerns, or comments to make? Seeing and hearing none, the recommendation that the Board of Education award the contracts for driver education services to Clawson Driving School, Infinity Driving School, and Leap Professional Driving School. I'll need someone to make that motion. Thank you, Trustee Beckler. I'll need someone to second that motion. Trustee Bibelow, I'll call for the negative vote. That motion is carried. Thank you, CFO Lloyd, and congratulations to the successful bidders.
Thank you.
All right, trustees, correspondence and letters of gratitude. I have nothing at this point, but we do have a director of education, and he does have a report.
Okay. I'll be real brief. The report is in your package. Just to highlight, the Living in Harmony Awards continued again this year, albeit virtually. And the St. Francis Equal Justice class won an award for the best video submission. So again, congratulations to the crew over there. As Cornelia mentioned in the earlier report, we had our first virtual round dance. We hope it's not an annual thing, that it's a virtual. So we look very much forward to the opportunity to host everybody again. But huge thanks to the team who demonstrated remarkable creativity and tenacity in bringing this to fruition, even though it needed to be in a virtual format. And I think as Cornelia mentioned, you know, having the reach out to, you know, BC and Ontario, and that is there's something to be said for that as well, that it's important as well also. So we'll see what other learnings we have as we've journeyed through this year, and this certainly being one of them. But again, huge thanks to the crew for all their work and bringing that together in that fashion. Again, the foundation and the board continue to support each other, and particularly the foundation as it's going through its process of renewal, and we've been meeting with them fairly regularly here as they've gone through that process and are seeking some areas to focus on their support. Our Mamalakam Ottoman Governance Committee met on March 26th, and just for the interest of the board, CEO of Saskatoon Tribal Council was announced. It's Chantal Watson. And so we look forward to working with Chantel as we move forward the Mamalakam Ottoman work and division. Again, pandemic responses continue. Lots of work in that regard. The PEP plan, I think it was referenced earlier on today and another item that it continues to be under development. So again, two stages to it. Next year will be the interim plan. You reviewed briefly some of the very early plans. I hope to have more solid plans to bring to you probably at the May meeting. And that should get us into a reasonable position for planning for next year. But ultimately, the long-term plan we'll be working on early in the fall. So we'll look forward to that work. And again, the SCSBA met this past weekend here as part as a follow-up to the SSBA Fall Assembly. And I know a report will be coming at a specific report will come on that at another time. So those were my items, but certainly open to any questions or other comments.
Thank you, Director Shetland. Seeing no comments or questions, we'll proceed now. Anyone with any board activity or linkage with Catholic School Community Councils at this point that they'd like to share? I know all of you have been connecting with your Catholic School Community Councils online and have had some good conversations, and a lot of the board linkage and activity will also come through in the committee and partnership reports as well. All right, let's proceed there. Now, joint operations, Trustee Burscheid and Stoos, anything to report?
Trustee Burscheid, let me know. She's having trouble with her mic, and so isn't able to chime in for us here tonight, this afternoon. I'm not sure, Trustee Stoos, if you wanted to make a few comments around the JOC work. But
Sorry about that. There's really nothing unusual in regards to our meeting. I believe we talked a little bit about budget and staffing and enrollment in that. I would first off have to apologize for that meeting that day. I was late getting to it. I was all hopeful to join the meeting on time, but when I got back into my vehicle, I noticed I forgot my device at home. So it was about 10 to 3, and I knew I wouldn't have time to make it back to my house at home. So I chimed into the meeting, and I have to give credit to Trustee Burscheid for allowing me to chime into the meeting with my cell phone to her on her device, and I was able to get to the meeting. So it was one of those kind of days.
Yeah. That's a long story.
It worked out very well.
Go ahead, Greg. I think I covered everything as we discussed. So.
Yep, you bet. Just getting things in position for the fall. Because budget was delayed, we weren't able to table preliminary budget JOC. So we may have to have a separate meeting just at some point in May to get that sorted out. We did run through some of the potential budget pressures going into JOC for the fall and how we may want to address those. The remaining items, I think we're pretty much standard fare. So.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Together in Faith and Action, Trustees Jelinski and Goodlow, you guys have been working hard. What can you tell us?
Thank you, Diane. We met last week, April 13th. It was the whole group, all online. It was very engaging, productive. We did a lot of fine-tuning on our outcome statements and revisions to the draft statements from last year. Generated a number of ideas, actionable items in each of the targeted areas. That's faith, adult faith formation, and faith and action. So these ideas will be categorized and collated for our next meeting, and we'll go from there. But it's very productive. Hudson, anything to add?
No, that covers everything. It was really an exciting meeting, especially with just seeing everybody engaged in like the fine tuning. Did he say? It was just really exciting.
That's excellent. Thank you, Tim and Hudson. Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools Foundation, anything to report, Anita, at this point?
Yeah, there's a few things. We had a meeting, and just to let you know that the student reps have started putting a lot of things up on Facebook and Instagram and have started a bit of a contest to try to increase the following. So if you're not following, you're on those platforms, give them a look. We also talked about looking to start charging an administration fee for handling some of the restricted funds that they're looking after just to recover some of their administrative costs. The special collection was mentioned already on May 16th. Videos being prepared for that and produced to be put out for Catholic Education Week with messages from the Bishop, Father Penna, Greg and Diane, and from Lori. And then it will be sent on behalf of the Saskatoon Diocese and forwarded to our schools, and they will share it with the student families from there. Pamphlets and self-addressed envelopes are also going to be distributed for that. Plans for the lottery are going well, and they're getting all that together and ready to launch in the fall. So that would be the school wins twice in the 50-50. And then the golf tournament is being planned for August 17th, and I think registration forms had gone out. Sharon and I discussed it, and we wanted to kind of suggest that the school board support that. I don't know if this is the place to discuss it, but we kind of thought that maybe instead of a few people having to shoulder the whole cost for that, that if we could all support it as trustees and take a little bit out of each of our expense accounts and have a group support us or represent us. That was our suggestion that we wanted to bring forward.
Okay, thanks, Monique. Yeah, we'll have a conversation about that for sure. Okay, good. Thank you for the good report.
Just got a quick question. Are we still in search of executive director for foundation?
For the foundation, yeah.
Foundation? What's the status of that?
I think it's a little bit on hold right now. They're still looking to finish the strategic planning and see where we're going to go from there. And then the executive director.
Okay.
It's still on the books to be done.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Benita. The Mamal Kamatuan Saskatoon Tribal Council myself and Trustee Case and Trustee Zakreski Rebecca on, we had a nice meeting. Lots of good work that's being done. Greg mentioned they have a new executive director that we'll be working with, and lots of good support from Chief Mark Arcand. So we'll look forward to working towards all the good going towards it, and you know, culminating in some of the good work that we're doing with that tribal council and Mokamatwin partnership. Dana, is there anything that you wanted to add at all?
Nope, nothing that I want to add. Just I'm super excited to be able to work with Chantel Watson and have you guys meet her and see how fabulous she is. She really is quite knowledgeable and, you know, is willing to put her best foot forward to making sure that education is a priority. So, yeah, we're pretty lucky to have her.
Good, that's good. Nice to have that good endorsement. So the COMFY and GSCS Educational Alliance that Trustee Carrier and Stuce and myself are on, so we're waiting. I'm not sure if there is a date yet for that next meeting, but we'll report after we do have one. The Saskatchewan Catholic School Boards Association, Trustee Jelinski, anything to report at this time?
Yes, the Board of Directors met this past Saturday. I have a few points here I'll share with the board. A number of things were already raised today, like, you know, that both Diane and Jerome mentioned the WAG and we're with that. Sean mentioned the relationship between the SSBA and the SSBA in terms of that agreement. And they have met twice. The parties have met twice and they have a third meeting planned. And Sean didn't say it, but, you know, according to Tom, you know, there's progress being made. So it's looking better than it was before. Tom mentioned about the costs awarded following the Theodore case. If you recall, when we won the case, the courts awarded us costs. Initially, I thought that would be a windfall, but it amounts to between $1,200 and $1,800. It's basically an administrative fee for the leave application. And we can claim that from the public boards. But the SCSBA or the Board of Directors decided to waive these fees as a gesture to foster a more positive relationship. Basically, one, as one trustee said, not to rub salt into the wounds, because $1,200 is not a big deal and symbolically might mean a lot. A couple of weeks ago, I brought the idea to the board regarding the surplus of the Theodore funds that we raised. The surplus was roughly $40,000. A lot of discussion at the meeting on Saturday, but the consensus is that these funds will be placed into a reserve fund to be used for any legal costs associated with the defense of Catholic education. And that was one of the ideas brought forward from our board and subsequently by two or three other boards as well. A few other things, like you'll get the minutes at the next board meeting. But the last thing I want to talk about is the proposed Saskatchewan Congress. I brought this to the board before. It's the various different stakeholders in Catholic community in Saskatchewan hosting a massive Congress sometime in 2022, 23, or 24. The feasibility study is complete and will be included for discussion at our next board meeting. At the meeting on Saturday, a number of observations were shared, and school boards, several of us took a particular stand on it, but Tom asked that each board let him know whether or not it supports this initiative. So it will be in the board package in 2 weeks, and I'm asking trustees to check it over, and we'll discuss it more thoroughly at that upcoming meeting then. That's it, Diane, unless there are any questions.
Thank you, Trustee Jelinski, for that good report. Not seeing any questions, we'll go on to the SSBA, the Saskatchewan School Boards Association. So we just came off their spring session and spring assembly this last Thursday and Friday. We had some good topics that were discussed. We were able to meet with the Minister of Education, Dustin Duncan, and then with each of our councils. We had good reports from our president, and I think in general it was our third virtual get-together or meeting or assembly, and I think that the administration from the SSBA has done a good job to allow us to still continue to have these kind of conversations. Is there anyone that was there that would like to add anything to that, to this conversation about the spring assembly? Okay, I'm seeing just a few nods that they agree that it was a good assembly, so that was good as well. All right, now it comes to the end of our meeting. Thank you very much for your patience. It is after 3, and that was, but we accommodated guests and lots of good reports and lots of good things are happening into the division. So I would ask that we are brought
out of
committee. Trustee Biblo, thank you for that. All right, we have the closing prayer. If you'll join me in a sign of our faith. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we praise you for the continual grace that flows into our lives, sustaining our labors for the sake of your risen Son and his gospel. May all that we do for our Catholic schools enable everyone to grow in knowledge, wisdom, and joy, and find their fulfillment in you. We make this prayer to you in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen. And we ask that we pray for the soul of Prince Philip and all the good work that he did. Amen. And may God, Almighty God, bless us in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I need a motion for adjournment. Thank you, Trustee Carrier. And I wish all of you a good week until we see each other again. And God bless you for all of your work.